from the time that they pronounced me dead was a good 45 minutes.
They cut my clothes and then they paddled my heart because my heart had stopped. And I could see people screaming and crying, but I didn't realize that was actually my physical body because I was somewhere else.
The only thing that I could feel, if you can imagine, absolute love and peace. There wasn't anything else to be felt.
I was greeted by people I had known in the past.
I'm back home again.
Incredibly safe and felt at home.
Welcome, welcome to Round Trip Death, everybody. And I have a very special guest that you're absolutely going to love today. Vanya Valtriani. Good morning, Vanya. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. Very good. Thank you for the invitation.
Good. I can't wait for everybody to hear about your near-death experience and lots of other things that you have learned. First, 60 seconds or so, tell us a little bit about you. Who are you? Where do you come from?
Well, my name is Vanya Valtriani. I'm from Brazil, the southeast of Brazil, São Paulo. I am a mom. Well, I am a wife, mom, and grandma in this order.
How many grandkids?
Three. Two boys and one girl. And the kids are the same. The opposite. The two girls and one boy. I study business administration in my country. I work a lot in many companies in Brazil. But then we decide to come to Provo, Utah, where we are living now for 12 years now.
That must have been a culture shock.
Yes. But we learn a lot about this. And do you know, I learn a lot about Brazilian people more after I leave my country. Because here I have another people to compare, others ethnic. So we can see the difference.
That's interesting. All right. Well, let's, without further ado, as they say, let's go ahead. I'm just checking my notes here. You had a stroke a little over 10 years ago. You were awfully young. Was there some medical situation that brought on your stroke?
Never had any problem before. Never strong headache. Nothing. Well, my mom told me that my dad had the same stroke that I have in the same age I was, 45 years old. Maybe this is genetic. I don't know.
Hopefully you didn't pass it on to your children.
Yes, I hope. And I'm taking care and help them to take care of themselves to not have the same. I learned it to help them.
Well, let's go ahead and jump into it. So tell me what happened with your health and while you were in the hospital. Take it away.
Okay. Well, just summarize this. We are living here for 1 year when I was working in many different things because I was a woman that always worked a lot in my country. So when I arrived here, I said, what I can do here? I cannot use many of them, my knowledge here, my degree. So I start working in something very different. My life was totally different here in Provo than in São Paulo because I started working doing Brazilian entertainment. We were doing Brazilian food, Brazilian parties, traditional Brazilian parties with the community that live here with us. And there's a lot of Brazilian people here in Provo, more than I thought. So I think I was working hard, stressful, a little. Not stressful a lot. I think that contributed for me because we were organizing a traditional Brazilian party in a big park here in Provo. It was July 14, 21st. While we were dancing the traditional dance that we have in this activity, I felt a very, very horrible pain in my brain. I can only describe this like if someone hit me with a hot knife in my brain and turned this. It was so bad that I vomited and then I fell down. After that, I just woke up after 4 days. And while this happened, what I can tell you is what my husband told me. He told me that they called to the ambulance and it arrived in 4 minutes, very, very fast. And I was took to the hospital and they detected that I had a stroke and I was taken to the surgery. And my husband and some friend that was with him in the party was in the hospital with him and my kids. After the doctor arrived after the surgery, and he told to my husband that 2 veins blast in my brain, a lot of blood in my brain, and that they couldn't do anything. There's nothing they can do, and I will die. And the doctor told to my husband, she has 0% of chance to survive. He told it this way because my husband was here with me for 1 year and our English was not so good in that time. And we have a very good friend, a leader, a bishop that was with him trying to translate everything. My husband just asked to him if he could give me a bless. It's a normal thing that we as a member do. And he gave me the bless and I stay in coma for 3 days. And in the 4th day, I wake up.
I just was curious, did you have a long recovery after that, or were you better quite quickly?
No, it was a long recovery. I was for almost 40 days in the recovery center in the hospital.
Wow.
It took a long time to me to learn again, doing simple things like brush my teeth, eat by myself without making a mess like a kid, be in... how can I say this in English? I think it's equilibrium, balance, to walk and... well, everything was very difficult, especially speak.
You look like you've made a full recovery, so that is fantastic. I'm so happy for you.
I don't have anything. I have anything. The doctor, well, the hospital, every day someone knock in my door in the hospital and tell to me and my husband, we came to see the miracle because the whole hospital is talking about her. And people that was working on the hospital came to my room and want to see me because the doctor could not explain what happened. But I know what happened because I had a very special experience while I was in coma. And I want to tell you about this. I want to tell to everybody.
Please do. We want to hear all about it. I want all the detail. So go ahead and tell us what you remembered after you woke up.
Well, when I woke up, the first person that I saw was my husband with my youngest girl. She was 8 years old and my best friend and a nurse. And I start trying to speak, but it was the most difficult thing that I was trying to do. It was so difficult. But I was trying to speak in English. When my husband started speaking Portuguese with me, I couldn't understand nothing he was telling me. I realized and they realized that I couldn't understand or speak Portuguese, my own language. My friend and the nurse started speaking me in English. And I was trying to tell them, but I only repeat, I was with my dad. I was with Jesus. I repeated this for a long time, many times. And my husband after told me, we are thinking that you are, I don't know the word in English. You are not in your normal brain or normal way because you only say, I was with my dad. I was with Jesus. I saw my dad. And my dad already died for 16 years old, 16 years ago. But I wake up with those memories in my brain, especially 2 of them that I want to tell you, that I tell to everybody in my channel and in my book. I wake up with 2 memories. The first one was that I was in a hospital room and I saw something, but it was very, very different and very difficult for me to explain. I'll try to explain. I was in that situation that I was not feeling anything bad. This is the most thing that came to my mind. I was feeling good and peace and normal. But for me, it was like if I was in a condition that I knew, something that I knew before. I don't know how to explain this. And I looked to something. I looked to a room. It was a hospital room. And I saw some professionals, some doctors or nurses working in someone that was laid down. It took a time for me to realize that that person was me. She was totally different. Let me explain in a way that you can understand. I think that when we are in our body, we have 5 senses. But I think that we are only a spirit. You have much more sense. I was feeling the whole place in back, inside. It was not only what I was looking for. So I think we have much more sense when we are a spirit. I am sure about this. Well, and that Vanya that was laid down on the table looks like in 3D for me. And I was surprised. And then I realized that was me. And in the feet where I was laid down, in my feet, in the table or bed, I don't know how to say this in English, I saw something very special. There was a big light and I saw my dad. I wasn't surprised to see my dad. And I wasn't afraid to see that I was that woman laid down. Because for me, it looks like I wasn't that person laid down. I look and I couldn't feel that I was her. I was not afraid about anything. It's totally different that we see in those Hollywood movies. Oh, I'm dying. That one is me. No, it's not nothing like this. For me, at least, wasn't like this. And I was feeling good. And with the vision of my dad, I was feeling something very good coming from here to me. It was something very good. I think it was his love. My dad, he died when he was 74 years old from cancer. But that man that I was looking was totally different, Eric. He was like my dad that I remember when I was 7 or 8 years old. He was so great. But there was something in him that I never saw in this life, in his face in this life. I don't know how to explain this. It looks like he was totally, I don't have words, even in Portuguese, to tell you. He just opened his arm and he say, daughter, but he never used his mouth. He didn't use his mouth. He spoke this in my brain, in my mind. I think it was from his mind to my mind. And I just told him, I love that, but I have to stay with her. And her was me laid down. But I don't know why I say this way, because I felt that that one was not me. That's why I say I have to stay with her. And that is the memory that I have with my dad. If I had something else, I don't know. I don't remember. Well, the other memory that arrived with me when I woke up after the coma was very bad. It was totally different, Eric. Totally different. The memory that came and that I was trying to tell them, but I couldn't. It was so difficult to speak. Was a very afraid memory. I remember very clearly that I was back in my body and I knew that I was alone in a hospital room. I don't know how, but I knew that I was back. And I felt that nobody was with me in the room. I don't know how I felt this. I was feeling that I was dying. I was feeling cold, petrified, terrified. I was feeling a lot of pain in my body. I was feeling a lot of cold in my feet. And I was freeze. I couldn't move. But the most worst thing was in my throat. looked like something was in my throat that I couldn't breathe, or and I was feeling so bad, and I was very afraid, and something came to my mind. I think, I am dying alone in the hospital. And then I say, what I can do? And I start praying. And I pray to God to help me. And I just ask for help. That is something very knitted in my mind when I woke up. And I told them. Yeah, I was trying to tell them. But my husband said that nobody understand nothing that I was trying to say, even in English, that people that was speaking English, because my English was so bad. Well, I was trying to tell them that I was praying and that I felt something very strong in my left side of the bed. And I trying to see what was this, but I was only feeling, I was feeling that was something very powerful in my left side of the bed. I don't know if I saw this wonderful light and this wonderful image in my brain, because probably I was with my eyes closed, but maybe my spiritual eyes, I don't know how to explain this, but I saw a face, and the most amazing thing on that face that make me very emotional even today, 10 years ago, was the eyes. The two eyes that I never saw something like this. Looks like he has the sun or fire inside his eyes. It was two flame. I don't know how to explain this. The eyes was so impressive that I almost don't remember everything in his face detail. I remember the nose, this part, and the mouth, but the eyes was the most impressive. It looks like I was going down, deep down in his eyes. And I remember that I say, I think Lord sent me an angel to help me, or this is the angel that came to pick up me. I don't know. I was afraid, but he took my hands. When he took my hands, I was feeling, this is not an angel. I can feel his hand in my hand, my left hand. And he said two things for me in my brain, in my mind. He never used his mouth too. He said two things. And the first thing I was, why he is telling me this? He said, we are very happy with your missionary. He's doing a great work. And in that moment, I realized that he was telling about my son. My son in that time was serving as a volunteer missionary in Guatemala service. And I say, why he is telling about my son while I'm dying? And then the second thing he said, your husband is a man very faithful. Because of this, he will see some miracle in his life. And then he told me for three times the same thing. Everything will be all right. For three times he said this. While he was telling this, Eric, I felt something coming from him to me. Looks like something physical touching me, surrounding me, like a blank or a warm thing, very good thing. And I stopped feeling the thing that I was feeling. I didn't feel nothing more, pain or cold or freeze or petrify or pain in my head. I was feeling something coming and surrounding me, and looks like he was curing me or something like this. And then in that moment, something came to my mind. And I realized that he was not an angel. And I thought, this is his love. He is my savior. And because of this love, he died for us. He is our savior. Because of this love that I'm feeling, something that I never felt before, something that is totally difficult to explain, is not something like we feel. because I am a mom and a grandma, and I know that grandma love are the most amazing love that people in the world consider great. But that thing that I was feeling was too much more than grandma or grandmother loves. I don't know how to explain this, but it was something physical that was surround me. But I feel that it was something powerful that was make me feel so bad. And I don't remember anything else. If something else happened, I don't remember.
That is awesome. All right, I get to ask some questions now.
Okay, you can ask me whatever you want.
I don't understand why you had the fear and the memory of feeling alone in your hospital room. Do you have any more insight on that? Why do you think that happened?
Well, I thought about this for almost 40 days while I was in recovery center. I wrote with very difficult because my hand was very difficult to write. My husband helped me to write something that I taught him. I was telling him and he was trying to write, and I read and I said, it's not this, go again. So I don't know why I was feeling alone or fear, but I had a conclusion that maybe is not the correct, but I am a simple person. I am not an expert about anything of this. After this happened with me, I read and read everything and watch everything that I can about near that experience. I think that I felt I was back in my body. Maybe that is why I was feeling afraid, because of that bad feeling that I was feeling. Well, Eric, I have a vivid memory in my mind about how it is to be without a body, out of your body. And that memory is so good. I was feeling so good. I was feeling in peace. I don't have words to say. But be back in this body is terrible. It was terrible. Maybe because I was sick with the brain damage. Maybe that's the reason I was afraid. I don't have any other answer for you.
That completely makes sense to me.
Yeah.
Because you felt, well, the love of your father and of Jesus and just being out of your body felt so wonderful that now being away from that and back in reality here on earth and in your body, that would feel like a huge difference, a huge paradigm shift, right?
Yes, yes.
So it makes sense that you would feel all kinds of things. And the aloneness can also feel very similar to, I miss that person or that feeling that I just had, right?
Yeah, you told me everything.
Those are very similar emotions, so I think it's normal that you would feel that way.
I'll never forget these memories. 10 years ago, but I can't, and I don't want to forget this.
No, and I can see why you want to share it with everybody. And I want to just interject something really quickly here, because every once in a while, I get a comment from a listener saying, oh, that guest you had on mentioned they have a book out, so they're just trying to make money on this.
Ah.
And not everybody is that way. In fact, when I was talking with you, Vanya, the other day, you mentioned, I'm not trying to make any money on this book. In fact, if I remember right, the audio version is actually free.
I just want to tell to people.
You do need to cover printing and stuff like that, but your motivation is just to get your experience out to everybody, and we thank you for that. And if anybody's judging you for that, then shame on them.
Yes. I have to tell you, because this is my mission. I think that, well, I know that someday, pay attention, someday you, Eric, me, you that are listeners, will be in front of Jesus for our judgment about everything that we did in our life here in this earth. And when he asked me, what you did with your miracle, I want to tell him, that I did everything that I could to tell people that he is real, as real as you and me, because I saw him and he is alive in another way, in a perfect way, and in a perfect way that we can be too if we follow him. There is a lot of religion. I don't know what is your religion, but Jesus is the same. We have to follow him. He is real. And this is my mission. He brought me back to tell people that he is real. That's why I have to write. I wrote a book in 3 languages because more people can listen. This is very cheap and you can have for free in Kindle. Or you can listen my story in my channel for free too. I don't want to gain money with this. I just want to tell to everybody what happened, to help them to understand that life is much more than this that we see.
And by the way, we'll put a link in the show notes so everybody can find it. All right, I have another question for you. I think it's so cool that you saw your dad and had communication with your dad. And you said, and I think you said something like, he looked like when I was 7 or 8 years old. How old would he have been at that time?
Well, when I was 7, he was 40, 39 or 40, something like this. Because I was born when he was 32, 33.
Okay. Can you tell us anything else about what he looked like? What his demeanor was like? Did he seem happy?
Well, happy is not the main thing that came into my mind, but it was whole, complete, in peace. It was, let me see if I have other. Happy, I think happy is something that came with others' most important adjective. And I think he was happy, but this is not the main thing that came to my mind. He was calm. He was complete, whole. He was in peace. That is the main thing that keep in my mind with this memory. And he was so strong and not young, but he was very, very young that he was when he died. But he was amazing. I want to see him again, and I know that I will see him again.
And can you give us a little bit more explanation about, I believe you were talking about Jesus when you said you saw his face and you were describing his eyes, which was beautiful. Can you give us any more description there?
When I woke up, I was in the hospital thinking about the main thing, how I realized he was Jesus. When did I realize he was not an angel, he was Jesus? I had a conclusion. I realized he was not an angel, he was Jesus, when I felt his love curing me or bring me back and helping me to stop feeling those horrible things that I was feeling. And then something came to my mind that made me afraid. I say, this is his love? This is the way that he loved me? He is curing me, make me feel very good again? Then I realized this is not an angel. This is our Savior, because he is the only one that have his kind of love that can cure us, that can bring us back, that make us feel comfortable. When I woke up in the hospital, the first week was the most difficult for me. Do you know why, Eric? I was crying every day because I don't want to be back. I want to stay with him, feeling that love. I want to stay with him. I was saying, I don't want to be back. And then I was trying to convince me, Vanya, you almost died. You have a family. You have 3 kids. You have a lot of things to live. You have to live. You have to say thank you. But I was only thinking about that situation, that feeling that I was feeling while I was with him, surround me with his love. I just want to stay that way, not be back. I just want to stay that way. I try to live in a way that I can be back, surrounded by that love. Because this is most important than the air that we breathe. We don't know about these things. We don't understand these things. And I try to explain, but it's difficult.
How else would you explain that love? You're a mother and a grandmother, and you love those children and those grandchildren. Was it more than that even?
Yes, because, do you know, let me try to explain. I love my kids, and I think many mom will agree with me. When our kid frustrate a mom, when our kid disappoint a mom, we have to deal with this. But we deal with this in a situation as a mortal and imperfect person that I am, that we are. Jesus' love doesn't change because our bad chose, bad situation. It doesn't change the love of Jesus for us. Someone that we love do something that hurt me. When someone do something that disappoint me or make me very sad or make something bad for me, sometimes I have some feelings that I have to deal as a mom, as a wife or brother, sister, whatever. But Jesus has the power to not change his love for us independent what I did. If I did something very bad, he still loves us in the same way. That is amazing. That is the way that we have to learn to love. I'm trying to do this for 10 years, Eric. I'm trying to do this with my husband, with my kids, with my mom, brother, or friend, everybody that disappoint me or do something that can make me something bad or feel something sad because of something that people do for us. But the love of Jesus doesn't change. Doesn't change. Independent of that, what I do, it doesn't change. Well, I'm very emotional. I don't know how my English is going on. So just tell me if you don't understand.
Your English is doing great. And I appreciate the explanation because a lot of people feel like when they hear the term judgment, that there's going to be a judgment someday. In our human, you know, and especially our English language, that seems to come with punishment.
Yes.
Or you get less love because you weren't perfect and things like that. So I really appreciate the way that you're explaining it. Before I let you go today, before we wrap up, I just wondered, is there anything else that you feel like you want to share with everybody?
Wow, a lot. No, that's okay. If I have 2 minutes, that is enough. What I want to tell to everybody that is listening to me, the first thing, I am not a perfect person because of this experience. I'm committing mistake. I'm trying to be better every day. But I learned from Jesus that I'm doing great. Sometimes some voice came to our minds to judge us and to tell us that we are not able to do that. You are bad. You are not so good. There's no way for you to be better. You are in a situation that Jesus will not hit you again. You are so low. This, everything came from the hell. Send back to her, okay? You are a son of God, and Jesus is your savior, my savior, our savior. He is the person that most loves you, more than your mom and your grandma too. He loves you. Independent what you are, what you have done, what your choice, he loves you. Because of his love and because of this, you can be better. Trust in yourself because of Jesus. He is the one that can help you to complete the part that you are not able to complete. Trust him. He's your best friend. Make him your best friend. He is someone that are waiting for us. That's why I'm here. And I'm so glad that he gave me this opportunity to be back, to live this experience. He gave me the opportunity to see the life in a different way. Things that was very important for me was not so important more. Do you know why? Because we think and we consider and we give much value to think that we'll stay here in this earth. You will not take this with you. You only take with you the relationship that you develop, the help that you gave to someone, the service, the love that you felt. So that is the thing that you take with you when you leave this earth and this body. I don't think that you have to be something that don't stud, don't achieve your goals, don't gain money. No, I'm not telling you this. I'm just telling you that is not the most important thing. Okay? If you want to be my friend, I will love to speak with you. Just contact me. Facebook, Instagram, my channel. I am here to answer some questions for you. Maybe I can help you. I'm here for this.
Last question. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much fear of death do you have?
I'm waiting for this because it's amazing. Well, negative 1 or 0.
Good answer. Vanya Valtriani, thank you so much for being with me today.
Thank you to help me to have this opportunity to tell to people about this.
Thanks again for listening and sharing this podcast. Don't forget to hit the follow or subscribe button and sign up for our newsletter at roundtripdeath.com. If you want to share your near-death experience, or if you have questions or comments about the show, send an email to eric@roundtripdeath.com. Until then, I wish you everything good that you're looking for in this life and the next.